I want to ask you something. Have you ever had one of those nights? One of those terrible and restless nights? Please imagine with me, if you will, that night. A specific problem is bubbling up in you. It's welling up in you. A question, a nagging question. But you can't quite figure out what it is. You can't quite articulate that bothersome issue. In fact, it becomes such a problem that you get up off the couch, kind of sighing, and you walk outside of your house. It's nighttime, it's dark, it's that freezing, bitter Kingman wind just gnawing at your skin. And you realize you forgot your coat, but you take your stroll anywhere, anyways, because you don't care. All you care about is addressing this question. There's a bench along the way, so you sit down on what seems to be a rather unfeeling bench, hard and maybe even a little bit cruel. You just sit there and you put your hands up to your face, and the question surfaces: Am I still in Christ? Am I still in fellowship with Him? Am I still in that relationship? And at this point, it's not just about your salvation. It's about your lack of prayer. It's about your apathy toward those in need. It's about your annoyance with the church. It's about all those times where you knew you needed direction, you needed guidance, and you needed to get it from God. But instead, you turned elsewhere. Even worse, when was the last time that the Holy Spirit convicted you? And at this point, your life doesn't look anything like that of someone who knows Jesus, if you're honest with yourself. It echoes in your mind again and again. Am I dwelling in Christ? Am I in Christ? Honestly, I've had this question pop up in my own life on occasion. Throughout the last 8 years of following Jesus, there's one time that stands out vividly. It's back when I was 20 years old. Andrea and I had been married for 5 months. Everything was going great. Junior year of Bible college, supply preaching, doing different ministries. Life was good. And then suddenly, we got struck with a tragedy. I was diagnosed with bipolar, and for over 2 years, we went through hell of all these ups and downs, and the in-betweens sometimes were the worst because it was so confusing trying to figure out what to do. Why is this happening? Sometimes, where are the people that we need in our life? And so it was a confusing time. At one of these times in my life, I think maybe a year and a half or so into it, I'd been on a level plane for a while, and I was digesting everything that had happened on the highs and lows. And I became disillusioned. I became distant from God and disappointed with the church. And so I decided all I really need to do is provide for my family, right? I need to pay the bills. What else is there to do? I started looking for a job, dropped out of Bible college. For months, I was on this job hunt, and during that time, a slow fade from Christ began to happen. During that time, the question began to form, am I still in Christ? Do I even care? I'm willing to bet that in one way or another, you've been there, or if not, you're gonna be there at some point. The event and situation might be different, but the question is the same. Thankfully, we're not alone in this. Many others have been through this. Fact, you can go back thousands of years to see an example. There was once this nobody who shepherded smelly sheep, and along that timeline, he managed to kill a few animals. Even so, people considered him just a boy, but became a man and he became a king. You know him as King David. He did a lot of good things. He united Israel, he was a good leader. Killed Goliath, things like that. He stood up for God. He He wrote all the Psalms, maybe one of the best things he ever did that we can go back to. But he also did some bad things, right? I mean, if there's anything that's going to get you to ask a question similar to this, maybe committing adultery and killing someone within a short period of time is going to get you questioning where you're at with God and if you're in a relationship with him. Psalm 51:11, David cries out, "Do not cast me from your presence, O Lord, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Can you see it? Can you hear it? That question, that gnawing question. His feelings reflected his doubt, and his plea represented that common question that we go through. Yes, even King David put his face in his hands and asked that question. Can I be cast from God's presence? Am I still dwelling with the Lord Almighty? Over 1,000 years after that, we meet another man. You know him as Peter. Some people know him as Saint Peter. He followed Jesus. He followed Jesus' footsteps. He ate what Jesus ate. He slept where Jesus slept. He was commanded to teach what Jesus taught. And at one point, you'll remember this, he even had the glory of a few seconds of walking on the water towards Jesus. And we'll spare him the rest of that embarrassing story. So if anybody could have a claim to being in with Jesus, it'd be Peter, right? Let's fast forward just a little bit. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, at one point Jesus looks at his disciples, he looks at that group, and he says, "Guys, you will all abandon me. You're going to scatter." And out of the crowd, a familiar voice rings out. "Not I, Lord. I'll never abandon you. I'd rather die. I don't know about these chumps, but I'll stick with you." "Actually, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. So, wouldn't you think that after a diss like that, Peter would be like, "All right, I'm going to show Jesus, and I'm going to show these disciples that I meant business." Just hours later, if you recall, he falls asleep when he's supposed to stay watch with Jesus while Jesus prays. He falls asleep repeatedly, actually. He's already failing to show true commitment. Soon a crowd arrests Jesus on that night. The disciples scatter like he said he would. They would. And Peter, I think, I can just imagine him trying to make up for lost ground. Yeah, he's scattered, but then he slinks about behind the trees and behind the buildings. He gets up to the courtyard where Jesus has been taken through and marched to the chief priests. And he's like, "All right, yeah, see, I haven't really left Jesus. Here I am. I'm close. Everybody else is gone. Just me." And then he turns his mind to earthly things. He sees a fire in the center. And there's a group of people around this fire, and he thinks, "Oh man, I need to get warm." So he goes to warm his hands by the fire. And then soon these people recognize him and say, "Hey, aren't you one of the disciples of Jesus?" They repeatedly ask him, and he denies Jesus a total of 3 times, and then the rooster crows. And you can just imagine that in that moment, a pin dropped in Peter's life, and he buried his face in his hands. And he could have asked that question, "Am I still a disciple? Am I still in relationship with Jesus Christ?" Do you think it's possible he asked those questions? You see, just like David and Peter, we all have moments in our lives where we fail to reflect Jesus. We fail to be the disciples we're meant to be. And sometimes those moments can be hours, they can be days, they can be weeks. Tragically, they can be years. And perhaps at this point, it's where this question serves a purpose. See, there's many things that lead up to this question. Distraction, the distraction of this world, the distraction, I find, most often of our own goals in our life. The distraction of what's going on in the world, the government. I think talk radio is really good at distracting me from the gospel. Things like that. There's confusion. There's sin. We learned in Hebrews. Brian will have gone over this with how sin hardens our hearts. And I find it's funny because at one level, sin causes us, if we process it this way, to get this complex where we don't think we're worthy to follow Jesus. We don't think we're worthy to be in that relationship. But on the other hand, we start accusing God. Hey, doesn't your word say you're going to transform me? Aren't you going to change my mind? Renew my mind? Aren't you going to do something with my life? Well, God, you haven't. I'm still stuck in this sin. And so you start walking away slowly from him or being complacent because of your anger towards him. And then there's failure and tragedy, kind of like I talked about, that lead us to this unwanted moment and this unwanted question. So how then do we respond? What is the answer? There's different ideas on how to answer this. Some believe that a person is in Christ, not if they're sinless perfect, but hey, if they're pretty darn good, then they're definitely in Christ. I mean, just look at the fruit. So of course they're in Christ. Others would state if the good outweighs the bad, then yeah, you're in Christ. And still others would say, ignore the sin. Don't worry about it. Let grace abound all the more. Yeah, you're in Christ. Unfortunately, every one of these man-made systems is unscriptural or takes scripture out of context. All of these systems leave us wanting something true and something substantial, something that will change our lives. Notice what word I used. A solution. This isn't an answer. We're going to go to 1 John, if you want to go there. 1 John, in this book, John provides a solution, not an answer to tickle our ears or satisfy our intellectual curiosity or even our intellectual agony. We get a solution that will change our lives. A solution that overcomes this hurdle. It's a solution, a healing one, therapeutic one, meant to be applied and made effective in our everyday lives. So in 1 John, his audience that he's writing to, first century Christians, are struggling with encountering false teaching. The Gnostics hadn't fully developed their teaching at this point, or their movement at this point, but they were on their way, and these Christians had begun to encounter it. One of the teachings that is prominent in Gnostic teaching is that Jesus isn't enough. He's great. The gospel's great, but you need extra knowledge. You need superior knowledge. So a whole nasty bag of, you know, Halloween trick-or-treat kind of thing is just lit open in this book where they've got all kinds of issues now. Am I in Christ? Is Christ enough? Am I saved? Is the gospel true? Is it believable? And one aspect of the letter is what we're going to look at. It's the solution to the question, am I in Christ? So let's read 1 John 2, 3 through 4. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. 1 John 2, 3 through 4. Okay, so if we keep God's commands, and we know when we look through this letter that that phrase, whether it's plural or singular, is going to represent one basic idea, and that is love God and love neighbor. And then further, when we look into the letter of 1 John, we see that these commands are under the umbrella of belief in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and his resurrection, and you are enabled to love God and love neighbor. So keep these commands, and you know that you are in him. Let's continue to 1 John 3, chapter 3, 23 through 24. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he gives us. Okay, so believe in Jesus, love God, love neighbor. Simple. The solution is simple. But wait, did you catch that back in chapter 2, verses 3 through 4? And I really don't like that phrase. The one who says, yeah, I know Jesus, and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Yeah, I got a problem with that, because I know I break Jesus' commands. And I know there's phases, real ugly phases in my life, that I do it often. So does that mean, and I know we all, at some point and at some level, we struggle with this. So does that mean if we fail at times, we're not in Christ? Well, let's read 1 John, the latter half of verse 5 through 6. So this is an awesome verse, by the way. You should memorize it. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he is in him ought himself to walk in the same manner that he walked. By this we know that we are in Jesus. The one who says he is in Jesus in the same manner ought to walk as Jesus walked. Yeah, that's really life-changing stuff right there. And so we see that if we are truly in Jesus, we will walk in the same manner he walked. If we're truly in Jesus, we will be who we are meant to be in Christ. And Jesus was perfect, right, in his walk. But what about us? Well, he provides forgiveness for us so that the possibility of continuing our walk in him is made possible. Let's observe the language of forgiveness found in 1 John. We'll take 1 John verse 1 or 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 as an example of how John uses forgiveness in this letter. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So yeah, we know that we're truly in Jesus if we walk as he walked, if we love people, if we forgive, if we extend mercy, if we confront falsehood. We know that we're in Jesus as we follow that walk, but when we mess up, maybe it's once, maybe it's for a week, maybe it's for a month, we get in that rut. Guess what? With true repentance, that forgiveness has been made possible through the cross. You just hit that reset button, and you continue in your walk with him. When we focus on obeying Jesus and loving others, we are walking in the same manner as Jesus. So we don't need to worry about all those nagging questions or this big problem we've talked about. John finally answers the question, am I in Christ? His response is, don't worry, just walk. Don't worry, just walk. This doesn't mean we don't ever think about this problem. This doesn't mean we don't address it by looking at Scripture and studying it out. But it does mean that we put worry aside, we get out of that rut, and we wholeheartedly follow Jesus anew. Don't worry, just walk. In 1 John 3, 23 through 24, we saw that those who walk and keep Jesus' commands, abide in Jesus and Jesus in them. We learn that the Holy Spirit confirms that we are in Jesus. In the book of 1 John, we learn about forgiveness. and the forgiveness that Jesus provides, and the encouragement of the Spirit, so that we are enabled to walk as Jesus did. We are equipped, and we have the grace provided for us so that we can continue. I want you to know that this is not about worrying about salvation. It's not about earning salvation. This is about being who you are meant to be in Christ. This is about living out His commands and following Him. It's about living that life to the fullest that He promised, living a life that leads to fulfillment and being a part of God's mission. A fulfilling life which happens when you don't worry, just walk. Remember that story I shared with you from my own life when I was disillusioned and upset with God. I ended up getting a job, praise God, at Conagra Chicken Frozen Food Factory. Yeah. I had the privilege of possibly providing some of you all, good Missouri vernacular, with some chicken nuggets. And I will spare you the details of those chicken nuggets. But I'm glad to be a part of nourishing you guys. All right, so, man, where was I? Yeah, that place. So, in Conagra, in the Conagra factory, I saw something that I never expected. I saw on a large scale, for the majority of the people, hopelessness, hate, spite, anger, frustration, resignation. To be blunt, it seemed like people had dead eyes, like the light was completely out. They'd given up, and this was just all that they were going to experience. They weren't going to even try to seize life, even in that place. And despite my anger and frustration and disappointment with everything that had happened up to this point, I had heard the gospel. I had studied the gospel. I've even preached the gospel. And so this contrast was in my mind, and I'm seeing these people. The scripture comes to mind in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, where it says a light has gone into a dark place. I'm like, man, this place is dark. So I started taking one of those good old KJV pocket Bibles and just put it in your pocket, and I'd read it on my break, and it became just my food. It became my water. It was new to me. To this day, I say, I met God in a factory again. I met God again, there. And I started sharing the love of Christ. I started sharing His word with people. One lady, after several conversations, went out and bought a Bible and started reading it. And when I look at this story now, I realize that I saw pain in people's lives. I sought to provide for my family. And I heard God's word, and I walked in that word. And so this question of, am I in Christ? Do I even care? Became a non-issue for me because I was walking that out. And by walking that out, I got back to that deep relationship with God. It's a healing solution. It's practical. Remember David and his failures? Remember his worry? Remember his plea? Do not abandon me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Despite his faults, he continued to pursue God. The New Testament and the book of Acts proclaims David as a man after God's own heart. May that be put on all of our headstones if we choose to take one. But I mean, it's amazing that he was called that. His life affirmed, don't worry, just walk. What about Peter? We left his story with him burying his face in his hands, weeping, feeling like a colossal failure. And indeed, he went back to fishing. He was on a lake, and Jesus called him to the shore. Jesus confronted him and said, Peter, you love me? Yes, Lord. Then feed my sheep. Jesus recommissioned Peter to continue following him, to continue in that mission. All that stuff that he messed up with that we shared, don't worry about it. Just walk. Keep following me. So when our lives don't stack up to biblical standards, when doubt creeps in, tragedy confuses us, and distractions pull us from Jesus, when we each ask that question, take comfort and take action. Don't worry, just walk. Remember, don't worry, just walk is a healing solution. It is a solution meant to work out in your daily life, a solution for worry, anxiety, and doubt when it comes to your relationship with Christ. Sometimes I think of it like this. It's as if we can get stuck in this thought process, like we're patients who we've seen the doctor, and we come out to the lobby in the waiting room, we sit down, and we start complaining about our illness. We got the prescription, all we got to do is go get it filled, start taking it, and living our lives, but instead we stay stuck in that room. We beat this topic like a dead horse. And talk about it endlessly. I can imagine Jesus coming up to us in those moments, saying, get up, take your mat, and walk. Follow me, and go live the life that you were meant to live for me. So how can we apply, don't worry, just walk, in our lives? We can walk as Jesus walked in our relationships, with forgiveness and selfless service. Fill in the blank on that one, because there's a dozen things you can do for that. We can walk with God and give over our worry about our lives, our goals, our finances, just as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, to trust in God. We can love and pray for those that we can't stand, and if we're honest, maybe some people we would even consider our enemies. We can love and pray for those who are forgotten. We can walk as kingdom-centered people. We can walk as kingdom-centered people, ready and alert, looking for opportunities to share our faith, to share the gospel through word and deed. We need to have the courage that Jesus had. You don't think that he was afraid when he was sweating blood before the cross? Yet he had the courage with the help of the Spirit to push him forward, and we have that as well. We have the Holy Spirit to help us have that courage. We need to walk as Jesus did. I want to share an example from our church just recently of walking as Jesus walks. Shirley Henderson, she was driving down I-40 and felt led to pick up a hitchhiker named Nate. She brought him to Kingman. And later that night, the Hendersons, Brian and Shirley, decided to give him a place to stay, this young man. Ryan also took part in this when he brought Nate to church on Saturday night and had some conversations about life with him. Then the Hendersons' love and generosity went way beyond just simple commands, and they purchased a ticket for Nate to go home to see his family, because that's what he wanted for the holidays. I share this because of one thing in particular. When you walk as Jesus walked, you don't have to worry about whether you're saved or not. You simply get to experience the joy and fruit of being in a living and thriving relationship with him. That haunting question becomes a complete non-issue. It's a non-factor. Because when you're walking as Jesus walked, getting out of that comfort zone and following him, your relationship flourishes. And you can't get any closer than that. Remember 1 John 5 and 6. The one who says he is in him ought himself to walk in the same manner that Jesus walked. The one who says he is in Jesus ought himself to walk in the same manner that Jesus walked. Please imagine again with me that night, that terrible, uneasy feeling, that cold winter night, that unfeeling bench that you sat on. You buried your face in your hands and you asked, am I in Christ? I encourage you today, do not continue to sit on that seat of doubt, or your fears might freeze you there. Take action, get up. Follow Jesus. Don't worry. Just walk. Will you guys pray with me? Dear Father, I am incredibly in awe of your grace. I am in awe. We are in awe of your power to heal, your power to keep us going. We're in awe of your forgiveness and your love. Lord, it's simple. You call us to follow you, and I pray that KCC can do that. For those that of us that need to hear it again, we need to hear that call. We need to reaccept it and refocus on the gospel. Help us to do that, Lord. Lord, I pray for anyone here who couldn't really relate to the sermon because they haven't entered into that saving relationship with you, that they would seek a wise Christian counsel within this church and come to know you. Lord, help us to walk with you and share that love together as a community with one another and with Kingman. May your gospel move forward throughout this world. May we be a part of it. And we thank you, as always, for your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.